understand how this helps you at all.
Sometimes I need to snap out of my normal way of thinking, so I do something different. See a new place, experience a new emotion, and it helps me have a breakthrough. It opens up something in me that helps me work past whatever block I'm experiencing.
You're having a hard time relating to the script? That masterpiece back in your dressing room? I can't imagine why.
I ignored him, because it was obvious he thought he was better than a low-budget movie. He apparently would have held out for a script with Oscar potential for his very first feature film. And he thought I was a snob. Everyone had to start somewhere. And this was my start. Plus, the movie had somehow scored Grant James. The producers were smart. He'd make it successful. I was smart, too. His star power would guarantee people would watch it. Would see me.
Walking through an old abandoned building is going to make you somehow feel something.
He turned toward me, but his face was in the shadows, unreadable. What Amanda had said came back to me again, that the best way to feel chemistry was to draw on some real chemistry I'd experienced. I didn't want her to be right. I could channel it here somehow. I didn't need to know what falling for someone felt like. I clicked on my phone's flashlight, lighting up his face and revealing his dark eyes on mine. He squinted, and I quickly turned the light away and searched for the door that would lead us farther into the building. Let's go. Dust and spiderwebs coated nearly every surface.
This seems like the perfect zombie hideout, he said.
Right. My makeup. I was still wearing it. Apparently, I should add that line in my bio about how long I could endure stage makeup. Yes, it does. The first room we came to let in enough light from the streetlights outside that I tucked my phone in my pocket. It had the frame of a bed, still intact, but pushed on its end against the wall, its headboard on the floor creating a stable base. I stepped onto the headboard and tugged on the footboard up near the ceiling to see if it would support my weight, then swung on it a couple times. Okay, time for some improv, I said.
Improv?
Yes, it's an acting term. We need to make up some stories. Donovan nodded, then wandered once around the perimeter of the room. He stopped at a small closet and bent down to pick up something. It was a paper of sorts. He wiped it on his jeans, then studied it close. What is it? I asked.
It's a picture.
Of what? I dropped from the bed and inched closer. He was still for a long, quiet moment before he said,
My grandfather. I thought he died suddenly, from a heart attack. At least that's what my parents said. But they sent him here?
What? I slid next to Donovan, my mouth right at his shoulder level, and looked at the picture. Only it wasn't a picture at all. It was a faded old receipt. That's not...
I thought you said we were making up stories. Don't the rules say that you're supposed to go along with mine?
Yes, actually. I was supposed to. You caught me off guard.
You literally just said we were doing improv.
I know, I just didn't expect...
You thought you were the only one who would be able to do it?
That's exactly what I had thought. Sorry, that was really good. Have you acted before?
No, but it's not rocket science.
Thanks, I mumbled.
That's not what I meant.
Oh, I'm pretty sure you said exactly what you meant. So much for starting on a new foot. Of course that's what he thought. He was dad number two, after all. Why was I letting this hurt my feelings? I didn't care what choir boy thought. The only thing that would impress him, I was sure, was if I were genius-level smart. Literally, a rocket scientist. I'm going to check out the rest of the building. 9. Donovan and I had separated. I obviously hadn't talked myself out of being irritated with him. And I was on the third floor, wandering through the dark halls, my phone light shining the way. I ran right into a spider web strung across the hall. I blew air through my lips and wiped it off my face. Grime coated my hands, so I was sure all I had managed to do was make my face even scarier. At the end of the corridor, an open door cast a strip of light on the dark ground. I clicked off my phone and tried to get in the mindset of my character. If I were Scarlet, wandering through this abandoned building, sick with a disease that made me hunt humans, how would I walk, think, feel? I slowed my step, like I was creeping. My body was being ravaged by a disease. I must have been in some sort of pain. I began to limp a little and hold one arm against my chest. I easily fell into character, which didn't surprise me. Channeling Scarlet wasn't hard for me. It was channeling her feelings for Benjamin that was the problem. I let myself think of Grant's eyes. That's what would keep me going. His eyes, for sure.
"You have to come see this room,"
Donovan said from behind me. I stopped, but didn't turn. I continued my hissing breath. Then I turned slowly, jerkily, until I faced him, looking up from under my lashes with a hungry stare. He raised his eyebrows.
"That's creepy. You obviously have that down well. Come on."
Right. I had this part down. I needed to change something. But how could I show I was still a zombie while also showing I was still in love? I followed him, still in character, slowly and dragging one foot. He led me down one flight of stairs, then disappeared behind an open door. When I got inside the room, I didn't look around. I just focused on Donovan. His back was to me. I limped all the way to him. I ran a slow finger up his spine. Then I grabbed him by the head and pretended to snap his neck.
"I honestly don't think you'd be strong enough to snap my neck. You should have found something to knock me out with."
I tried to hide my smile, because he was facing me now. Instead of speaking, I lunged for his neck with an open mouth. He laughed and backed away, grabbing my arms to hold me at bay.
"You're not a vampire," he said,
while struggling to hold me off. He twisted me around so I was facing the opposite direction, then pulled me up against him, wrapping his arms around me and trapping mine in his hold. I let myself relax against him. I was Scarlet. He was Benjamin. His arms were strong. So was his chest, which pressed all along my back.
"If I let you go,"
he said by my ear,
"will you stop trying to bite me?"
The skin on the back of my neck tingled to life. That was new. It was working. Being in this building, away from cameras, interacting with someone as Scarlet was stirring up some feelings that I could draw from. He tightened his hold slightly.
"Deal?"
A shiver went through me. I leaned down and bit his arm. Not hard, but enough to make him feel it. He released me.
"Lacey Barnes, you are so weird. Seriously."
I finally dropped the act and laughed. "Oh, come on. It's fun. You have to admit it." It was surprisingly fun to goof around with Donovan. Maybe because he was usually so serious. I decided it was now my mission to help this boy act like a 17-year-old. At least some of the time. "Wait, are you 17?
"What?" "Yes,"
he said, registering my question. "And are you opposed to having fun?" I asked. "Does fun mean that you are not learning something new?"
"I am not opposed to having fun."
"Good." I looked around the room we were standing in. It was cleaner than the other rooms. Almost lived in. There was a metal bed frame with an old stained mattress in one corner. A night table with broken drawers sat next to the bed. A picture frame, with a real picture inside, was on the night table. I walked over to it. A man and woman and three kids smiled at the camera while standing in knee-high yellowing grass. "Did they forget to clean out this room?" I asked. The rest of the room was cluttered with an array of other things, a hanging rack of clothes like I had in my dressing room, only men's, a stack of dusty books, a lantern.
"I don't know, but check it out. I don't think this old man liked his nurse as much."
He went to the nightstand and opened the top drawer. It scraped along its track as he did. He shined his phone on the contents. I peered inside to see a serious knife.
Wow, that knife is not messing around.
It was huge, with a serrated edge. It looked like the kind I'd see on the set of a movie about a drug lord. I thought about it for 30 seconds too long. It was like my brain was trying to fit the knife into the nursing home script I'd given when we'd climbed through the window. But as I slowly assessed the evidence, I was coming to a realization.
"And what's in drawer number two?"
Donovan tugged open the next drawer and revealed plastic bags full of white powder. I gasped, then said aloud what I had realized. "Someone is living here now." He paused, his eyes darting upward like he was thinking. Then he cursed. It sounded funny coming out of his mouth, like it was the first time he'd ever done it in his life. He slammed the drawer shut, grabbed a dingy towel off the corner of the bed, and wiped the handles as if he thought his fingerprints would immediately appear in some sort of database.
"We need to go," he said. "Now."
Right as we made it to the top of the stairs to head back down to the first floor, a loud bang sounded somewhere below us. Donovan cursed again. I remembered a hall closet behind us and took him by the hand and dragged him there. We both stepped inside, and I pulled the door closed.
"Whoever that is saw my car,"
Donovan whispered.
"They had to have. It's the only car in the parking lot. We're going to get caught, either by the cops or by whoever owns that knife. This is going to go on my record."
"Or you'll be dead," I whispered back.
"Exactly."
He was quiet for a moment.
"Do you think this is funny? How do you think this is funny?"
"I don't. Well, it is a little. I feel like I'm in a Heath Hall movie."
I was scared, too. My heart was racing, and my nerves were heightened. But it was also kind of exciting.
"A Heath Hall movie?"
"That's the character Grant normally plays in movies."
"I know who Heath Hall is,"
he snapped.
"Oh."
I reached out, and my hand met with some part of Donovan. His back, his chest. It felt like a shoulder blade, maybe.
"Don't stress so much."
"When should we start stressing, then?"
He paused for a minute.
"Wait, is this some kind of joke? Did you set this up?"
"You're the one who brought me here. How would I set this up?"
"True."
We both went quiet as a set of footsteps sounded outside the door. They didn't slow down, just walked right by. I could feel the tension release from Donovan. We stayed in the closet until I could no longer hear any noise at all.
"Thanks for coming with me tonight," I whispered.
"Is this the new experience you were going for?"
I was shut inside a small dark closet with a guy, tension and heightened awareness thick in the air. It kind of was.
"It's actually helped a lot."
"I'm glad something came out of it."
"Should we sleep in here tonight, or make a run for it?" I asked.
"Those are our only two choices?"
"Yes."
"I guess we're running."
As if he'd been waiting for the suggestion all along, he swung open the door and ran for the stairs. When we got to the window, where we'd entered, he practically threw me out, then flung himself out, rolling to the ground with his momentum before he stood and stumbled to his car. I caught up with him, not able to control my laughter.
"It's not funny,"
he said when we were safely inside his car, the doors locked.
"It is funny. Like 100%. Not even one percentage point less than completely funny."
He turned over the ignition and drove out of the parking lot. Then finally said,
"I'll give you 75%. No more."
I laughed again. After a few quiet minutes, Donovan said,
"What would you have done?"
"What?"
"If whoever was in there had opened the door and discovered us, what would you have done?"
"Turned on my zombie mode. The hissing, the limping, the works. It would have confused them just enough for us to get away."
"You really would have done that?"
he said as a statement, not a question.
"Yes," I answered anyway.
"You're crazy."
"Don't forget it." I studied his profile as he looked out the window. His jaw was tight, his lips set in a thin line. "What would you have done if we'd been discovered?"
"I have no idea. I think I might be a flight kind of guy in the fight-or-flight scenario. My only instinct was to run."
"You sound sad about this."
"I am. I always knew I hated conflict, but this, I'm extremely disappointed in myself."
"You wish you would have what? Went charging after him in a blind rage? Asked him if you could join him for his recreational pastime?"
"No. I don't know."
I grabbed hold of his shoulder and shook it.
"Lighten up, dude. You totally pushed me through the window first. You can hang on to your man card for another day."
"Did you just call me dude?"
"I did. Better or worse than choir boy?"
"Equally bad."
"I think you mean equally charming."
"You do think you're pretty charming, don't you?"
"Yes, I do. And you do too, so don't try to deny it."
He shook his head, but the smile on his face proved I was right. Something caught my eye out of the side window. I pointed.
"All those new experiences made me hungry. Let's go eat."
"With you looking like that?"
"Will this embarrass you?"
He gave me a sideways glance, then shrugged.
"Probably not."
"Let's do the drive-through." It was better that way. I didn't think anyone would recognize me offset, but just in case, I didn't need more bad pictures on the internet.
Dancing Graves. Interior. The Mansion Library. Day. Scarlet is getting worse by the day. She has not transitioned, but feels like she is dying a slow death. She wants to leave to spare her family and Benjamin pain, but he is worried for her safety. Benjamin.
Where will you go?
Scarlet. The cemetery, I think, with that old abandoned church nearby. You can leave me supplies there.
Benjamin. I cannot bear it. You must stay for just a little longer.
Scarlet.
Promise me something. If I start to worsen, if I begin to require what the others eat, you must stop me, by any means necessary.
10. What I told Donovan was true. Getting out of my daily rut was important when I was feeling uninspired, and our experience the day before had definitely fired me up. I felt ready to work. Or I would be ready if I could find my knee pads. I had to crawl over benches today, and Wardrobe had given me a pair just for this purpose. I got down on my hands and knees again and looked under the rack of clothes. I couldn't find them. I took every hanging piece and moved it to the couch. The only thing on the floor was a pair of Converse I'd forgotten I'd brought to the trailer.
Faith!
I called out my trailer door, as if she stood waiting for me at all times. She wasn't there. I glanced at the time on my phone. I had 2 minutes to be in the church building. I wasn't going to be late again. I hopped down the steps and halfway there noticed my favorite helper across the way. Aaron! He was talking to someone from the crew and looked up when I called his name. Have you seen my knee pads? He put his hand to his ear as if he couldn't hear me. I waved him off and kept walking. Faith stood at the doors to the church. Faith, are there any extra knee pads?
You lost yours?
I thought they were in my trailer, but I couldn't find them.
I'll bring you another pair. Hurry in, they're waiting for you.
Thanks. Grant nodded his head as I joined him by the pews at the front of the chapel. It was a gorgeous room, with dark wooden benches and steps leading up to the pulpit, which was backlit by the most amazing stained glass I'd ever seen. A large tapestry hung on the wall displaying the words, Matthew, chapter 5, verse 44. Love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you. Hey, I said, noticing all the people lining the walls to watch. My eyes caught on a familiar face, someone I'd seen Grant talking to before. Who's that guy in the flip-flops?
That's my agent.
Wow, he's very involved. He rolled his eyes.
He's the one who talked me into this job. He thinks it's going to redeem my reputation.
Does it really need that much redeeming? I see fans lining up at every location for you, and you probably get 1 million online mentions a day. Like Amanda had said, we needed to get Grant out of his head. I needed to help him stop thinking he was somehow a failure.
I used to get more, and they used to be mostly good. But it's not just the fans we're worried about. It's the producers and casting directors. They need to see I have range, that I can act.
Right. Grant went from looking at his agent to turning back to me.
You ready to climb over benches?
My knees felt bare as I said, So ready. Are you ready to run? He smiled.
Yes. I got your message yesterday and tried to text you, but it was after 10. Does your dad take your phone away after 10?
It bothered me that my dad had made a reputation for himself, one that made it seem like I was a child. I was not a child. No, he does not. I was already sleeping. I was exhausted after the adventure I had. My tutor and I went to this abandoned old folks' home and found a drug dealer.
What? Not sure that's the answer for our chemistry issue.
I smiled. Yes, that sounded bad. That's not what I meant. I don't do drugs. What I should have said was that we found a drug dealer's lair and had to escape.
This was the Muse thing the security guard was telling me about?
Yes.
You have a tutor helping you find a Muse?
I do now, I said. He smiled his 100-watt smile and took a step closer into my space.
You don't need a tutor. I'm not hard to fall for, if you let yourself.
I'm not trying to fall for you.
Exactly.
We were talking about the characters, weren't we? Well, Scarlet has fallen for you. I mean, Benjamin, obviously.
You need to let yourself be her.
He took my hand in his and tugged me a little closer. I knew what he was saying. I needed to relax into the character on set. I needed to become Scarlet, at least for the next 8 weeks. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Amanda watching us. She gave me a small wave. Don't you think Amanda is great? I asked.
Yes, I do. I gave Amanda the same speech yesterday about letting herself fall for me. She's doing a better job of it.
A light flashed on, blinding me for a moment. I squinted.
Is that okay?
Remy asked.
Or have you become an actual zombie afraid of the light?
He smiled.
It's fine, I said. I had just been surprised. I was used to the spotlight. I turned back toward Grant and tugged my hand from his grip. Good thing I don't need to fall for you today. Just tried to kill you.
You ready?
Remy asked. I looked around for Faith with my knee pads, but couldn't see her anywhere. Let's do it.
Nice zombie work,
Remy said, as I passed the monitor, limping slightly. Now I understood the need for padding.
You were channeling some serious death,
he said. Thanks, I said. I'd felt that way too. He nodded, his attention already back on the footage playing on the screen in front of him. Faith joined me with a pair of knee pads in her hands. Sorry, I know these are a little late. It took me forever to find an extra pair. I took them from her. It's fine. You can keep them for next time. Okay. You'll see on your call sheet that everyone has tomorrow off, and then Tuesday we'll be filming only Grant and Frederick. Frederick was the actor who played my father, Lord Lucas, in the movie. Oh, okay. See you Wednesday, then. Amanda grabbed hold of my hand as I reached her. You did awesome today. Thanks. I saw my dad standing against the far wall. How old were you when you got your first steady soap opera job? 15, she said. And how old are you now? 20, she said. And your life isn't ruined? What? I nodded toward my dad, who had almost reached us. Think you can talk to my dad so he doesn't worry about me so much? I knew he did. I knew that's why he dropped by so often and felt the need to be so strict with my schedule. He reached us just as I finished the sentence. Amanda stuck her hand out. Hi, Mr. Barnes. I'm Amanda. I'm 20, and I'm not screwed up yet. Thanks, Amanda, I said. Very helpful. She laughed. It's so nice of you to visit the set so often. The bigger the audience, the better.
It's fun to watch, Dad said.
You're a brat, I said to her. I'm being serious. I know you are, I said, then gave her shoulder a shove. Go talk to Grant before he gets away. She looked over to where Grant was heading toward the exit. Yes, coach, she said, and hurried off.
She's interesting,
my dad said. She's really great. I like her a lot.
I'm glad you're making friends.
Me too. I put my arms out to my sides. So what do you think about the new location?
It's beautiful.
I agree. My knees ached. I shifted my weight and tried not to grimace. Dad did not need to know about my hurting knees. He wouldn't like that. I didn't know you were coming today.
I had a client on this side of town, so I thought I'd drop by on my way home and check out the new location.
There was a set piece to his right, one that wasn't used today but would probably be added the day after tomorrow. A big wooden table. Red candles, with wax melting all the way down to the brass candle holders, sat on top. One candle lay on its side, with a crumpled piece of paper near it. My dad righted the candle and picked up the paper. Then he looked around as if searching for a trash can. Dad, I said, that's a hot set. Don't mess with it.
What's a hot set?
It means that an art director put that table together, and even things that look like trash are part of the scene.
So slowly put everything back exactly the way you found it. Oops.
He put the paper down carefully and returned the candle to its side. I smiled. Rookie mistake.
Mom would have known about this.
Maybe. He draped his arm over my shoulder, and we headed toward my trailer.
How are things going?
Good. Things went well today.
And how about your new tutor? Is he working out okay?
He's very helpful. I thought about how he'd gone on the adventure with me the day before.
That's probably not what my dad was referring to, but he'd been helpful with my homework, too. So what I said was true. We stopped outside my trailer door. Are you coming in? I asked.
I actually need to go home and get some work done.
Okay, I'm going to do homework here.
And you'll be home by curfew.
I will be home by curfew. Dad left, and I gave a little nod. That wasn't so bad. He hadn't made any comment about going over hours on set or felt the need to tell me how much homework I should finish tonight. Maybe he was realizing that I could handle this. I opened my trailer door, fully expecting to see Donovan despite the deal we made. But he wasn't there. I made quick work of removing my makeup, thinking he'd show up at any second, and I would have to stay a zombie for the fourth day in a row. But he didn't come. Good. He'd rescued me with math when Leah called, but now he was honoring our deal from before about my wanting space. I'd have to text him some pics of completed pages. I kicked my shoes off into the corner, then inspected my knees. They were red, sure to be bruised tomorrow. I needed some ice. I found Aaron sitting in a camping chair outside his dad's trailer, staring intently at a notebook. Psst. How can a girl get some ice around here? I wasn't even sure there was ice anywhere. He jumped a little, but then smiled and climbed to his feet.
I can get it for you. Do you want it in a cup?
A plastic bag would be best.
Okay, I'll be right back.
I'll come with you.
Okay.
As we walked, he asked,
You have social media accounts, right?
Yes. Why? Does your dad want me to publicize the movie more? I tried to think about how I might do that. I didn't have tons of followers, nowhere near as many as Grant had. But I'd been avoiding posting altogether. I could change that. Aaron looked down as if embarrassed.
No, I was just wondering if I could follow you.
Oh, yes, of course. He pulled out his phone and I told him my online handles. He typed into his phone for a while, then tucked it back into his pocket. I don't have my phone on me, but I'll follow you back when I get to the trailer.
Thank you.
We rounded the church building to the back side, where Craft Services was set up, and I saw Grant's agent picking at the food on the table. Aaron let out a sigh. What? I asked.
Peter is so annoying, always hanging around and making demands.
What kind of demands? I asked. As if he realized he had said more than he should have, he shook his head and said,
No, it's not a big deal. Things most agents ask for.
I wondered if my agent had made any demands for me, aside from all the things my dad had wanted added into the contract, like extra breaks and no working after 10 p.m. We made it all the way to the food table, where Peter looked up with our arrival. He nodded at Aaron, then gave me the once-over like he didn't realize who I was without the zombie makeup on. I just smiled.
I'll be right back, Aaron said,
then walked over to a metal box on wheels. He opened a hatch at the front of it, but then looked around, probably realizing he had nothing to put the ice in. He held up his finger to me and then ran off. Feeling a bit awkward standing there next to Grant's agent in silence, I began surveying the food table, and even though I wasn't hungry, I picked up a yogurt cup and took a spoonful.
Do you have a publicist?
Peter asked me. Of course he knew who I was. I actually wasn't sure. My agent may have mentioned one before.
You need a publicist, he said, to work on your image.
He grabbed a chocolate-drizzled strawberry off the table, and then he and his tan legs and flip-flops walked away. Aaron came back a few minutes later holding a gallon-sized Ziploc bag full of ice that I hadn't heard him get.
You okay?
He asked. Yes.
What's this for, then?
He shook the bag. I took it from him. My knees are sore. Benches are hard. I pointed over my shoulder. I better get to homework. Thanks for your help. Back in my trailer, ice on my knees, I worked on my homework for a while before I became distracted with a thought. I tapped my pencil over and over again on the paper. My phone sat beside me on the couch. Why had Peter asked me about a publicist? Was there more than the original horrible picture and caption that I had seen the other day? I picked up my phone and Googled my name. I held my breath as my phone worked. Nothing new came up, and the original post I had seen had fizzled out, not turning into anything viral. I let out my breath in relief and sent a text to my dad. "Do I have a publicist?" He responded back almost immediately. "No, too expensive for how little money you make." That was probably true. But I sent off an email to my agent anyway. Do I need a publicist? No matter how much I stared at my inbox, she didn't answer back. I'd survive without a publicist for now. I'd done it up to this point. 11.
"This is all you got done last night?"
Dad said when I walked into the kitchen the next morning. I had tried to sleep in, but my body was used to waking up early now. "What?" I asked, rubbing at my eyes, then searching the pantry for something to eat. I pulled a granola bar from the box and unwrapped it.
"Your schoolwork. You answered, like, 2 problems."
"Oh, right. I'll finish. That's why I brought it home. I have the next 2 days off," I said through granola. He set my work on the table.
"Yes, you will finish. Right now. And then you will take this to the school today and turn it into your mentor teacher. It's about time you met her."
"Dad, this is my first day off since we started."
"If you did your work when you were supposed to, you could actually have a day off. But you don't. So have a seat. It shouldn't take you very long."
I groaned. Why were we always having the same argument over and over? "Dad? Do you hear that?" He went still and listened for a moment.
"Hear what?"
"The sound of your blades whirling above me as you hover."
"Are you saying I'm one of those helicopter parents?"
"So you do hear it."
"It is my job to make sure you don't get behind in school. So get to work."
"Fine." I sat down hard in the chair, biting back the ouch. Maybe it was because I was mad, or maybe it was because I really wanted to leave the house. But I finished the rest of my independent study homework faster than any I had before. Half the answers were probably wrong, but that wasn't the point. The point was that I was free from my prison guard. School had been in session for over 4 weeks, but I, personally, hadn't been on a high school campus since before summer break, and I had never been on this high school campus. It felt different than my old school. Bigger, for one. But in some ways, it felt exactly the same. I stopped in the middle of the walkway and took a deep breath. High school. I couldn't decide if I missed it. One day I'd walk around a place like this and people would recognize me. That thought made me smile. Today wasn't that day. The late bell had just rung, so there were only a few students walking the halls. But nobody gave me a second glance. I wondered if even Donovan would recognize me today without my zombie makeup on. I'd washed my hair the night before, too. Something I hadn't done in a while, per instructions, and I couldn't help pulling on the silky ends. I'd parked in a visitor spot and was now trying to find the office. Shouldn't it be clearly marked? There were 4 buildings surrounding me, each multiple stories, none with the words, "This is the office," on them. "Excuse me," I said, quickening my pace and catching up to a long-haired guy walking in front of me. "Can you tell me where the office is?" He started to point when he caught my eye.
"Do I know you?"
No.
Was it possible he'd seen the negative posts online?
I've seen you somewhere before, he said.
Probably here. Office?
He snapped his finger and his eyes lit up.
Zits!
Oh. I was almost relieved. When people did recognize me, it was for one reason and one reason only. The Zit Cream commercial I'd done. Why had my agent let me do that commercial? It was decent money, but it was always on. Even still, 2 years later, I could turn on the television and that commercial would be playing.
Yes, you caught me.
Don't worry, I'd say half this campus has been in embarrassing commercials.
Half?
Okay, that's an exaggeration. But sometimes it feels like half the people here are aspiring actors.
Oh. I wanted to say I wasn't aspiring. I was in an actual movie. With Grant James. But I had a feeling he wouldn't believe me. Office? I tried once more.
Right.
He pointed.
Follow this path between these two buildings. It will be on your left.
Thank you. I took the path he indicated down a flower-lined walkway and past a big hand-painted homecoming dance sign and found the office. When I stepped inside, a blast of cold air hit me in the face. It felt nice after the heat from outside. I walked up to the counter. Hi, I guess I need a visitor's pass. I'm here to see Mrs. Case. She's my mentor teacher for independent study. My dad had told me this was her free hour, and I hoped he was right, because I didn't want to disrupt her teaching. A girl sat behind the counter. A white sticker on her shirt read, "My name is," with Taylor written in green beneath it. She looked like a student. "Sign in there. Take a badge from the basket. Mrs. Case is in the C building, room 303. I signed my name on the sign-in sheet and took a badge. "Which one is the C building?" "The big one on the right." "On the right of what?" Every building was big. "Can I get a guide?" "A guide? Someone to show me around?" We did that with new students at my school back home. I'd given at least a dozen people a tour of the campus, which usually started with an extensive list of where to find the best food. "Do you need to see the whole campus?" Taylor asked. "Or just the one teacher?" I only needed to see the one teacher, but apparently this wasn't a good enough excuse for Taylor. So I put on my best persuasive smile and said, "This might be my future school. Can I request a tour guide? I actually know a student who goes here who would probably do it." "Why not?" she said, obviously bored with me. She picked up the headset of a corded phone on the counter. "What's the student's name?" "Donovan." I had given myself a mission. Bring a little fun into his life. I imagined school was where he was most serious. If I could loosen him up here, I'd consider myself a miracle worker. "Donovan," Taylor trailed off, waiting for me to fill in the blank. I pursed my lips. "I don't know his last name. Is there more than one Donovan?" "I personally know three Donovans." I stared at her for a long moment, trying to decide if she was kidding. If she was, it didn't show. Maybe she was an aspiring actress. The star in a million embarrassing commercials. "Really?" I finally asked. She hung up the phone. "Donovan Lake, Donovan O'Neill, and Donovan Ritter."
"Wow, you really do. I'm not sure which one of those he is. I wouldn't be opposed to an All the Donovans tour. I can assess which one should be used again for future tours."
When she didn't laugh, I said,
"No?"
"Does he play football?" I couldn't imagine my tutor playing football. He seemed too cynical for that.
but I had no idea. I don't know. Does he have a younger sister? Or play the guitar? Maybe? He was listening to rock music in the car, so that was possible. He's a tutor. She shook her head as if that detail didn't help. Does he write? Does he? I asked, surprised. She continued to stare at me blankly. He has dark hair and is about this tall. I held my hand up and then moved it higher and then lower again when I realized I wasn't exactly sure how tall he was. So when you said you knew him, she trailed off. Yes, apparently I don't. Where did you say Mrs. Case's room was again? I asked, giving up. She gave me directions and I left the building. I can't believe there are three Donovans who go here, I mumbled to myself. How big was this school? Mrs. Case was writing on a whiteboard when I walked into her very empty classroom. She was a tall, athletic woman, and I wondered if she coached the volleyball team here. I almost asked her, but decided that was rude. Heightist, or something. Did tall people get asked if they played sports all the time? Tall people didn't have to play sports. Hi, I said instead. I'm Lacey Barnes. I presented her with my finished packet. Lacey, we finally meet. Come in, come in. Have a seat. She pointed to the chair on the opposite side of her desk. Then she sat down across from me. She started flipping through my packet. How have you been faring? Too hard? Too easy? Just right, I said. Does that mean too easy? You answered that very quickly. No. In fact, the math has challenged me quite a bit. Challenging is good. She shut the packet and placed both hands on top of it. Well, I'm not going to grade this right here, but I'll email you. You have been getting my emails. Yes? Yes. There's a little button called Reply that you push, and then you can write back. I know it's probably an outdated media for you kids, but I have faith that you can learn. I smiled. Sorry, I'm really busy. I'll work on that, though. I could just deliver you my packets that way, too, by email. I know. I told your father that. But he said this was part of your compromise. Of course he did. One I hadn't realized we'd made. I was wondering if you'd actually ever make it in here. I've seen a lot of your delivery boy. Yes, Donovan. He plays guitar. I took a guess because that was the only one I could imagine him doing. He does? She asked. Maybe I was wrong. And writes? Yes, he does, she said this time. For the school paper. Again, I was surprised. But then I remembered how quickly he'd pulled out that improv the other day. He obviously had some creativity in there somewhere. She pointed to the corner of her desk where a folded paper sat. The school still has an actual paper? I was thinking she was referring to an online issue. We do, in fact, as archaic as that seems to most. I think it's because about 30 years ago, we got our own small printing press. It's still in our journalism department, humming along happily. We're too proud to let print die now. I still like holding words in my hands. I craned my neck and tried to find Donovan's name on the front page. I couldn't make out much at this angle. She nodded. Me too. Do you have an extra school paper lying around? Oh, yes. They'll have extra ones in the journalism building. I would give you mine, but apparently I'm quoted in here somewhere. I haven't read it yet. Plus, you can check out the printing press while you're over there. I'd never seen one before. I tried to take advantage of opportunities where I got to see or experience new things. I never knew when I'd need knowledge like that for a character. For sure. It's two buildings down. Room 114. I stood. It was great to meet you. I think I'm all caught up for now.
You are caught up until tomorrow, when you will have a whole new packet to start.
I wondered if my dad knew that. Who was I kidding? Of course he did.
Right. Thank you.
If I had known you were coming, I would have had the next one ready for you.
Sorry, I thought my dad told you I was coming. Donovan will bring it for me. She nodded, slid my packet into her top drawer, and walked me out of the room. I headed toward the building she'd said housed the journalism department. Room 114. That would be on the first floor. It would be easy to just walk by and look inside, see the printing press, maybe pick up a newspaper. What were the odds that Donovan had journalism this period? The odds were low. When I got to the room and peered through the window, I couldn't see this machine or the newspapers. I saw only rows of desks and computers, and students typing away as if they couldn't keep up on all the news happening at that very moment. I backed up to look at the number beside the door. 114.
So where did they keep the press? In some back room? Had Mrs. Case been joking about the school owning one?
I moved to leave when I saw a big bulletin board that filled an entire wall inside the classroom. Pinned to it were newspaper clippings. I wouldn't disrupt anyone if I walked inside to look closer, see what kind of articles the school put out. Okay, fine. I didn't care about the articles so much as I was curious about what Donovan wrote. Finding out he was a writer was surprising, and I wondered if his writing would give any insight into his personality. If I was to succeed in loosening him up, this could help. I opened the door. I was wrong. I disrupted pretty much everyone. They all looked my way, their fingers pausing for a moment on the keys to watch me skirt around the outside of the classroom. Now I needed to act like I was there for some official reason. I stopped in front of the teacher and flashed my visitor badge.
Hi. Sorry to interrupt. I'm new here and just on a tour of the campus.
And you're interested in journalism? You write?
I gave him my best sincere studious look.
Of course.
Now maybe he could point out where the printing press was hiding and let me look for Donovan in the sea of newspaper clippings.
Donovan,
the teacher said, as if reading my mind. I opened my mouth to respond when a deep voice to my right said,
Yes? Why don't you show this young lady the department?
I swallowed hard and followed the teacher's gaze to a side office that I hadn't seen from the door. Donovan sat at a desk, flipping through some printed out pages.
She's a writer,
the teacher continued. I could tell Donovan didn't recognize me yet. He was kind of far away and I wasn't a zombie. I wasn't one to get embarrassed easily, but I could feel that my cheeks were pink. Why was I blushing?
That's okay, I quietly said to the teacher and took one step back. I see that he's busy.
Donovan had put the pages on the desk and stood. I suddenly understood the flight instinct he'd had the other night. But I couldn't run. What if he recognized me? Instead, I channeled all my acting abilities and willed my face to normal.
Hey there, choir boy, I said when he was in front of me.
12.
Lacey?
His eyes danced over my face.
Hey, I finished the packet, so I dropped it off to Mrs. Case.
Oh, great. That will save me a trip.
Yes, exactly.
The journalism teacher stood. He was shorter than he'd looked sitting down.
Sounds like you two know each other. Can you show her the department, Donovan? She's a writer.
Sure. I hoped he'd show me some of his work, but he walked toward the hall door, preventing me from studying the board. When we were out in the hall and the door shut behind us, he said,
You're not a writer.
Maybe I am. Maybe I'm an aspiring journalist.
Are you?
No. But I'd make a good investigative reporter. For example, today I found out at least 3 Donovans go to your school. 3! How is that possible?
It's a big school.
With a lot of Irish heritage?
One of the Donovans is black.
The guitar player or the football player?
What?
Or the one with the little sister?
Are you stalking Donovans?
That would make a good movie title. His eyes sparkled as if he really did find me amusing and was trying his hardest to pretend he didn't. I'd never had to win anyone over like this, and I had to admit, it made the small victories more satisfying. I glanced around the empty hall.
So does the tour end here? Your teacher told me you would show me the department. I feel like this isn't happening. I'm going to make a report to Taylor that you are a horrible tour guide. I'm moving on to the next Donovan.
He looked at the palm of his hand and picked at a streak of black ink there.
Did your dad tell you I was a writer?
No. Why? Was it on your tutoring resume?
No, I just... Never mind.
He took a deep breath and straightened his shoulders.
Do you really want to see the rest of the department?
Absolutely. I've been told all about this thing called a printing press. Where does it live? He pointed at a door across the hall, then led the way.
You're in a good mood today.
It's because you're not holding an empty homework packet in your hand and expecting me to get it done in an inhuman amount of time.
3 hours is hardly inhuman. I think my little sister can get it done faster than you.
So you do have a little sister. How old is she?
Freshman.
I rolled my eyes. You made it seem like she was 5.
I am no longer offended at you telling me she can finish homework faster than me.
He stopped outside a door.
Are you ready?
Is something shocking going to happen when we go inside?
He smirked and opened the door. The press was bigger than I expected, with lots of metal bars and handles.
I totally chose the wrong electives when I was in school. If I went here next semester, I would take whatever the class is that gets to operate this beauty. Do you run this?
Sometimes. So you're saying you wouldn't take drama?
Of course I would. I wouldn't take math.
He laughed.
Not sure you can trade math for journalism.
I'll be Lacey Barnes. Famous. They'll let me do what I want, right?
Pretty sure most people already let you do what you want.
If that were true, you'd be doing my homework packets for me. I turned and gave him my best pleading eyes. It's not too late for that to happen.
Funny.
He watched me walk around the machine twice.
Are you going to go here next semester? When you're done filming?
No, I'm going to finish out my senior year at home.
I wondered if he cared. Why did I care if he cared?
I ran my finger along a black knob.
We should print something. A paper that says, Lacey Barnes is the next big thing. That's some hard-hitting news.
I would get in serious trouble for that.
Would you, though? With those cute boy-next-door looks of yours, I'm pretty sure people let you do what you want, too.
No, they don't, actually. Never.
He opened the door for me, and we stepped back into the hall.
Never?
Here. Let's test it. Ask me for something. I turned toward him and put my hands behind my back as though patiently waiting for a request.
Can I go back to class now?
No.
I smiled.
Huh, you were right. You don't have a face that people want to give things to after all. You have to smile.
That's what tempted me, at least. His smile. No. Not tempted me. I wasn't tempted.
Ha, ha.
I pointed across the hall.
And what's behind door number 3?
Graphic design.
They help with the layout of the paper.
Nice.